We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Aaron Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. He's got it! DJ Moore has a pass to the end zone. Jonathan Taylor, touchdown!
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Sean, we are one day away from the Sunday slate of the NFL action for Week 10. We do have the Thursday night football in the books, but we're going to focus on a couple of different topics outside of that as we look through some more of the pieces that maybe we didn't touch on that you've had up on the website this week. We're going to look through a couple of interesting players who maybe this might be your last opportunity to buy them before they bounce back in a major way. And, you know, we're getting ready for that playoff run, Sean, if you can get these superstars on the rosters who maybe are a little bit below market value at the moment. Owners may be concerned. I think that's going to be a fun conversation in today's edition. All set for week 10. Is this going to be back to the high scoring that we like to see get those points on the board, or is it going to be more of the week nine shenanigans?
I think it'll be high scoring, high flying. That's what we like to see. Kansas City Chiefs going back, scoring a ton of points. Right now, as listeners are listening to this column, we are back in time slightly and kind of project forward. If this morning's reports are anything to go by, there's a pretty good chance that either your Packers or my Chiefs are now in position to have Odell Beckham out there running the incorrect routes and then complaining to the quarterback that he was wide open. Why didn't you hit me 35 yards down the field when I was not where I was supposed to be? So we'll see how that elevates either Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers as they go down the stretch.
Yeah, it's another layer to add to that Chiefs, the tape before the Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. So who gets Odell? But yeah, all joking aside, the listeners will know, I would imagine, at this point, as we record this one on Wednesday evening, the news kind of circulating that likely the Chiefs, the Packers, are the Saints. But at the moment, it looks like the Packers are not willing to give up with too much cash to get them on board. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. Usually the Packers' name gets thrown into these situations to try and, you know, get other people to pay more money, and that's kind of what tends to happen. The Packers, as we know, the splashes in free agency can be few and far between, but it's going to be fun. So hopefully he's ended up with the Packers. One interesting show.
So you're rooting for Odell, for Beckham to be there with your squad.
I'm always rooting to have as many good players on the roster as possible. We did talk off air, I believe it was, and we did talk a little bit about the Packers-Chiefs game on Tuesday show, but after we were talking, and you know, we did say about, you know, the wide receiver room and how things could shake out there, there's always been talk of, you know, Devontae Adams being the number one guy there, and then, you know, there is options behind, but for different reasons. the big thing is that Robert Tonyan is out for the season, and there's, you know, that he's not going to be replaced fully at tight end. But what I was going to touch on is, did see some interesting reports over the last kind of 48 hours of potentially sliding Alan Lazard in towards tight end for the remainder of the season, which I think could be quite interesting if that did occur. In my opinion, the best blocking wide receiver in the NFL. But look, Odell may have lost it, but if we're going to find out if he hasn't lost it, if we get him with Mahomes or Rodgers, we're going to find out very, very quickly.
Well, the Chiefs have been willing to find out on some of these guys in the last several years. What they found out on Le'Veon Bell, and I mean, it's still early with Josh Gordon. I think you've got to give some of these guys a little bit more of an opportunity. Hopefully he emerges, but the early results haven't shown a difference-making receiver there. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that he sticks with lands with your Packers, because one of the guys we have on a lot of teams and one of the players who is the best sort of buy low, and not really a buy low because people are not going to be selling Tyreek Hill, but a bounce back candidate who could really elevate teams down the stretch. One of the things that I've been including in some of the Monday articles, we have the really cool Monday review tool that Matt Spencer and Dave Cabin have built, and you can go in and you can look at these guys who have a big gap between their weighted opportunity rating, which looks at targets, air yards, and air share, and then just how well they're converting that, right? So you have the receiving air conversion ratio. One of the players who really jumps out with the huge gap right now over the last 3 weeks is Tyreek Hill. Now, he did have the big game in there a couple weeks ago, allowing us to hold off Travis Kelce owners, but he's caught 22 of his 38 targets. He's at a 30% target share. He's at a 43% air share. Those are not surprising numbers for Tyreek Hill in this offense. One of the things that they have appeared to do as they started to struggle is to emphasize Hill even a little bit more. Now, he's gone out on a lot of plays when he's not the target, when he's in the game. You know, Mahomes is looking to him repeatedly. His air yards over this stretch, 445. He's only caught 180 yards worth. Right. So when you're looking at that massive gap, you're thinking what might have been. Now, if you've had a chance to watch the games, and the Chiefs are one of the teams that, you know, do factor into some of these national telecasts, you'll note that although the connection overall appears fine, we talked about how Mahomes hit Hill on play to get the first down to end that game against the Green Bay Packers. It is a situation where the long passes haven't been there. And I think that that's one of the things that can be overlooked. One of the big differences I feel like between the Chiefs and the Bills, and really a change that I do expect the Bills to make, is that Hill has still been extremely involved, whereas the Bills have let Stephon Diggs kind of fade out of the game plan. We haven't seen as many of these deep targets to Diggs. You can sit back there in your shell defense and say, throw it underneath, but that doesn't mean that Tyreek Hill can't still get behind you. He's done that successfully multiple times over the stretch, and Mahomes hasn't been able to make the connection. Now, one of the things about this is those are difficult plays, right? When you're trying to throw the ball 60 yards in the air, that's going to be a little bit of a different story than when you're trying to throw it 5 yards or 10 yards, or in the Chiefs' case, and in many of the teams' cases right now, when you're throwing it behind the line of scrimmage. Now, you expect to complete those plays. This connection from Hill and Mahomes is coming. We're going to have another 40-point game from Tyreek Hill in the near future. Diggs is not on this list because his weighted opportunity rating is very, very poor. But that's the thing that I think is going to change for him, is that his usage is going to explode over this next month as the Bills remember, look, we have a superstar here. He can get open at every level of the field. He's going to start doing that. You see it in all different kinds of sports, right? And it's kind of this age-old tension and this battle of when you go out there, whether you're on a basketball court, you're on the football field, you're trying to figure out what you need to do to counteract someone in a tennis match. This idea of, do you take what the defense gives you? Do you take what the opponent gives you? Or do you sort of enforce your will? And the answer in most cases is some combination of those two things, right? You have to understand what the opponent is doing and react to that, but you have to be able to do the things that you do. You have to be able to run your offense. You have to make your identity and your strengths manifest within that contest. We've seen the Bills struggle to do that a little bit and really kind of fade away from their strengths over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, it was the real apocalypse there with the loss to the Jaguars. I think the things coming out of Buffalo this week are encouraging. I think they're going to make those changes and kind of get back to this dynamic where, yeah, you're going to take some of the things that the defense gives you, but you're also going to impose your will.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that, like, it's been a very unusual situation for the Bills so far. We touched on the running backs in the Zero RB edition on Thursday. It's just kind of strange. The season started off pretty, really, really good, kind of where they left off last year, and then been a few questionable games and things like that. But Tyreek, who you mentioned, you know, if over the last 3 weeks, one of those, you know, or over the last 2 weeks in particular, if one of those deep shots connects, where, you know, that window shuts closed very quickly. And Sam Wallace, who does some excellent work each week, he is, like, you know, putting out his buy lows and who we should be targeting there. But each week it seems to be that he kind of quote tweets the player that he mentioned the week before and says, like, buy-in window now close. So somebody like Tyreek Hill, one of those deep shots, and that window is going to close shut very, very quickly. Somebody else, Sean, that's in there, and we touched on the situation with the Packers as well, and the Chiefs and Odell Beckham, but Devontae Adams, obviously, is somebody who has had issues both with his own health with the COVID for himself, and then obviously Aaron Rodgers this past week and having to play with Jordan Love against the Kansas City Chiefs. So he has had a lot lower usage, one less game to be put into that sample size, 21 targets in that time, just the 12 receptions, 118 yards and one touchdown. So I think, like, it's going to be interesting this week. Rodgers should hopefully pass the protocols and be able to play this week. It'll be interesting to see how not playing over that kind of, probably, you know, if you're looking now at like a well over 2 week stretch without kind of playing with Devontae Adams. So how that chemistry, I think, should still be okay, but I think he's ready to bounce back in a major way. The other players that are here that I think are quite intriguing, because the value, I think, should be a lot more achievable if you're trying to move and acquire these guys versus the likes of Hill or the likes of Adams. And that's Jarvis Landry and T. Higgins. The other one that's in there, and we kind of give him stick at times, I think, on Stealing Bananas this week, I can't quite remember who I think you might have called him like the James Conner of wide receivers, might have been the phrase for Adam Thielen, in terms of getting into the end zone and not doing a huge amount else. But those three guys feel like players that may be acquirable. How are we looking at those guys over the remainder of the season?
Well, Higgins is someone that we keep saying the buy low window is going to close, it's going to close, it's going to close, and then he continues to not haul in these touchdown passes. And the unfortunate thing is that Higgins finished last season so well, and he's been so heavily targeted over this last month that there's not really any question about when the production is coming, or, well, that's the question, is when. It's not if. And unfortunately, that means you can't really buy, but as someone who is playing him in all these leagues, you hope that it comes before, you know, we have the buy window. We also have the win your league window. We want T. Higgins to start scoring points in that window, right? So we'll see if he is able to do that. Kind of one of the things that I did want to mention, because it's just kind of crazy, kind of looking there at Diggs, right? His target share of 24% this year, just barely above Cole Beasley. He actually has fewer air yards than Emmanuel Sanders. And so, again, just so many ways to illustrate what isn't happening there. The crazy thing with Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill's portfolio or his profile owes so much to those two massive games. And the nice thing with Hill is obviously your first round pick is in there every time. It doesn't really matter exactly to you when those points are scored, because you're not going to ever have him on your bench and miss like you might have missed on a James Conner last week. But because of those big games, his average is in that 20 point per game range, and he's actually scoring right there with Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler, the two highest scoring healthy running backs. And so we have a receiver here who feels like a bust, who is actually equaling the highest score of runnings. Now, the running back position is not scoring as many points as we might have expected this year, too, with now, obviously, the absence of Derrick Henry, who was getting the job done. But that context, I think, is interesting when we think in terms of what Tyreek Hill is doing and what he still might do as we go forward here.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio21. That's RVRadio21, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package, is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Who are you looking at? What do you think of a Jarvis Landry, who has a 28% target share and is three games back from injury? He's only being targeted 9.3 yards down the field, and yet a 56% catch rate. When we're talking about guys to buy low based on air conversion, we're usually talking about guys with a deeper target depth where there's a little bit more variance in terms of whether or not these passes are completed. The underneath guys, you need to be able to count on them to catch passes. Obviously, Landry was not needed in last week's annihilation of the Bengals. We got the long touchdown to Donovan Peoples-Jones. He'll probably be a little bit more involved. Anthony Schwartz, a little bit in there. You get the late touchdown pass to Njoku. So they have some other guys, even though those guys are more peripheral pieces. Nick Chubb, the long run, we have the concerns there with the COVID designation this week. Is Landry going to emerge as the wide receiver who gets enough volume and, unlike what he's done in these 3 weeks coming back, actually has the catch rate so that at least you have a good floor each week out there going out in fantasy?
Yeah, I feel like Landry is kind of right in the spot now where we've seen him for so long with the Dolphins, you know, consistency. If you give him the targets, he's going to catch them, and they're probably going to be, you know, like his A-dot is kind of, it's 9.3 at the moment, so you're within those 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. They're usually going to be pretty easy conversions, and then we see him get some of those deeper passes from time to time. He is now going to be the wide receiver one on this offense. I know some people probably said he was a wide receiver one anyway, but it's without no question now because Odell is no longer there. Baker Mayfield is going to look to him more frequently, and I also think that this team is going to build things off play action. I think the area where he may struggle the rest of the season is in the touchdown department, but I think if we see him, you know, get 5 touchdowns between now and the end of the season, he's going to be in a really, really strong position. So out of the three guys I mentioned, I was just trying to see which way you would go. I think Higgins is going to be the hardest to acquire, and I think Thielen is probably in the same range maybe as Landry in terms of where people would be looking to move. I think maybe because of the touchdown, people might have to pay a little bit more on Thielen. I think Landry is the one I would be targeting. I think the target share is going to maintain, like it's at 28% over those last 3 weeks. I think that there will hold, maybe increase his air yard percentage on the team as well as 30, basically 32%. So I think it's going to be interesting to see this offense evolve. Obviously, there were certain situations that they actually wanted to make sure they got Odell out of there. So I think they're pretty confident in what they still have. We've seen Peoples-Jones with the deep touchdown last week. And I think Landry is going to be a real key part of keeping the chains moving in this offense. So we're probably going to see that, you know, 8 to 10 targets a week. And I think he can get a lot of fantasy value, especially in the leagues we're playing in, which are nearly all PPR leagues that are going to help him have that solid weekly four. But if he gets in the end zone any week, he's basically reaching straight away at 20 points in that week. So I think he's an interesting add if you can the rest of the way.
You had mentioned Adam Thielen there, and he's someone that is always hard to bring up. The interesting thing when I was putting this together, one of the next people down as a buy low would have been Justin Jefferson, someone that we have on our main event team. The reason he didn't make the list was that his weighted opportunity rating was actually below the cutoff I was using. And so the issue for Jefferson is this combination of a lack of efficiency and a lack of volume. Now, he gets the touchdown, so that papers over a little bit of the fantasy element of it. But the main thing is that Jefferson is not scoring, and the Vikings are not using him. Now, there's always a slight ball based on the stuff, which we obviously won't get into that. But the Vikings, so close, right? They look good throughout this game against the Ravens. You have the touchdown return. That's almost kind of one of those things where it can get you out of your rhythm a little bit because your offense spends so much time on the sidelines. Your defense spends so much time on the field. The Ravens ran an insane number of plays in this game. You like to see the fact that they had Jefferson involved early. They handed the ball off to him on the first drive. They get him that long touchdown early on in the game. I mean, they just have to keep going back to them. It's mind-boggling when you watch this team to think that both of these guys really need more volume. Thielen probably doesn't need more volume between the 20s. And people are probably more or less just happy. It's like, what is he good at? Well, catching touchdowns. So those are high value. Let's keep throwing the touchdown passes. Jefferson needs to have 12 targets a game. I mean, you have to get him more involved here.
Behind the scenes, Sean, for the listeners, I know we did our kind of bonus shows with the Q&As, and one of them we talked about how we watch the games. This past Sunday, obviously we started off that main event and we're kind of deciding how the rosters will go and kind of message then, yeah, that's the roster set. They all look good. Good luck in all your games this week. And then maybe 15 minutes later, there's an email comes in and it's just Jefferson and capital letters from Sean, and I'm thinking we are off to the perfect start here in this one. That was kind of as good as it got for last weekend. We got 15 minutes in feeling very good and no more players scored after that. But Justin Jefferson, you mentioned he did have a red zone catch near the end of the game where he kind of got pushed out inside kind of the 10 or the 5 yard line, so it could have got even better. But when he gets that big score early on, you think, this is the week. This is, you talked about Tyreek Hill and the possible 40-point game. That's kind of where your mind goes when you get that deep 50-yard touchdown in the first quarter at that point. But there was really nothing then until kind of the fourth quarter or overtime at that point.
Yeah, the message should have been, Jefferson, turn off the TV. It's all downhill from there. Yeah, right. We score. I don't think we did not score a full 100 points other than that play. So luckily the team somehow still in first place in points, which is a nice place to be in. We still have those wide receivers. You mentioned, are we going to get it back? We have some of the Bengals going to the bench this week.
I had a team last week, Sean, after I kind of reviewed it after, and I've talked on the show about Joe Burrow being the guy that's kind of in on all those rosters at the FFPC. And I have one roster, and because of the week 8 bye for the Ravens, I looked after, and the team put up 170 points, which was really good, but it could have been even better because Lamar Jackson is the other quarterback in that roster. And just by habit, I'm so used to seeing Joe Burrow in there, and there's usually no decision around who my quarterback is. And then I was like, oh, that was interesting. So I'll have to keep an eye this week.
Well, Colin, Higgins there, Ben and I were trying to figure this out on Stealing Bananas. What should we pay for him? What should fantasy managers pay in Dynasty right now to get Higgins? The tricky part, obviously, with a young wide receiver is that the person who currently has him is going to want a lot. How much are you willing to pay? I mean, this is a situation where Higgins was a second round pick in rookie drafts a year ago. He has a good rookie season. He comes back and they draft someone over him who looks to be a superior player. And Joe Burrow has been good, but not great. We have seen what has happened to Tyler Boyd. I mean, is this a situation where Higgins has really done about what we would have expected when you combine his rookie season and his second season, and now he's in a worse situation? And, you know, so that second round rookie pick, I mean, it's kind of one of these things where these rookies are going to increase in value, the rookie receivers are, unless they absolutely bust. And so it's not like everybody goes up, right? I mean, you have your Denzel Mims, you have some of those kinds of plays, but is it interesting to you at all that, I mean, Higgins has basically been just good, and yet, I mean, you have to pay much more now than a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he hasn't like taken that step to kind of superstardom, I guess, that we were hoping for. But obviously when Chase came in, there was a little bit more tempered expectations. I think when we look at Higgins, like you mentioned, he's in a worse situation. Like last year, like Tyler Boyd has kind of, you know, there's nothing really happening at the moment. I don't really know that it's technically a worse situation. I think we're in a similar situation to what we're going to see with the likes of Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, but in that we also don't have as good a quarterback as Joe Burrow. So the situation, like, I think is definitely not bad. Going on when he came in, and you know, you mentioned him being a second round pick, I think at the moment you're going to have to still overpay, because like you mentioned, if anyone acquired him say last offseason, they're going to have had it paid a lot. And I think in this situation you're probably it's going to be hard to pry him away from those owners. I think you're going to have to still pay above what probably the actual market value is. I think perception is a big thing. I don't think it's been all that bad of a season. I think you might be hinting towards that. Like, in terms of second year, he's played 9 weeks now in his second season. I think overall the whole sample size has been pretty positive. There has been some letdowns in there, but I'm still very positive on Higgins moving forward. You asked about a price. I don't know. I would be setting kind of an over-under of where the market value might be now at a first and a second in terms of just pure draft picks. Do you think it would be over or under that, or do you think that's kind of a fair range of where price might be?
I think the price is in that range, and I joke to an extent, because obviously Higgins was very, very good. He's averaging 8 targets a game this season, and so he hasn't had any trouble demanding targets within this offense that has Ja'Marr Chase. He has the little bit of injury that has slowed him down a little bit. He's dropped or misplayed or failed to haul in a bunch of potential touchdowns. And my personal dynasty ranking on him is extremely high. So,
question then for you in the overall ranking, like, have you moved him down at all this season, or are you keeping him at the same spot?
I've been keeping him at the same spot, and at some points he's even elevated, because we have seen that he's not going to be the guy to lose the value, right? I think there was at least a tiny concern. And I mean, one of the reasons why it's so frustrating about how bad he's been or how unhelpful he's been from a fantasy perspective is just that I was understating his rookie season. His rookie season was fantastic. He came into the offseason and the reports out of Cincinnati were unreal about how well he was playing. And you can see that Burrow looks to him constantly early in the game on the big third downs. He has the ability to get deep. He's also worked as more of a possession type of threat this year. You know, when they go underneath and are trying to convert these plays, it's not necessarily, you know, to Tyler Boyd that they're going, which, you know, I've been concerned that, basically I should say, I think there's another step coming for this offense, right? Because there are a lot of plays in which Burrow looks around, doesn't have anybody, and gets sacked or has to throw the ball away. And that's hard to understand, because we know that Tyler Boyd has been, throughout the last couple of years, one of the best players in football in terms of getting open quickly underneath. And so, you know, if Burrow doesn't have a chance to get to him in the read before he's getting hit, then you've got some flaws in terms of how you're setting things up. And if you're not getting to him when he's the guy who's actually going to come open, then, you know, the pre-snap read is not good enough. And if the scheme is not putting Boyd in a situation where he can beat the guy that he's facing in a lot of these one-on-one coverages, then your overall game plan isn't good enough. And so there are a lot of different steps in this that are kind of hard to understand. To have to inject Ja'Marr Chase into this offense and have him do what he's done, and for them to look the way that they've generally looked, it doesn't make any sense, right? And so I think one of two things has to happen. Number one is that defenses sort of adjust to Chase the early things that he did on some of the big plays were fluky. Now, again, we know he's not going to make all of those plays for the same reason that we know Tyreek Hill is not going to miss all of those plays that he's missed recently with Patrick Mahomes. There's going to be some balancing out of that. The reason those guys are so valuable is because they can make some of those plays, and then they're also valuable around the rest of the field as well. But unless Ja'Marr Chase sort of ceases to be what he's been in the early going, the only other option for this offense is for it to blow up, because T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are too good. I mean, I think that we have to consider the fact that Joe Burrow is maybe more of a very average quarterback than a superstar. You know, you go back and look at what he did in college, and it's like, it's not hard to understand why LSU was so good when you have Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, perhaps the two best NFL wide receivers currently, were on that team. You know, that's going to push you into that number one overall pick category. But again, he didn't have either one of those two guys last year as a rookie in Cincinnati, and he did some really impressive things before the injury. Again, a lot of our similarity score tools in the RotoViz screener, for example, put his rookie season, the portion that he played of it, in the same category as someone like an Andrew Luck. And so, you know, I think because we've had those big plays to Chase, that it's easy to think, okay, well, you know, he's back, when in fact, I mean, he's not back at all yet, right? I mean, he's still very much in the process of trying to recover from that knee injury. And so we're going to see a lot more from these guys. So while you can't help but be very concerned just that the volume has been so bad for Tyler Boyd, I think that he obviously is a buy. And then with T. Higgins, the fact that just so many of these passes have been so close but not quite, I mean, he's obviously a buy. So I would be willing to pay more than that first and the second. I don't think that's going to get it done in most cases.
Yeah, I'm still very excited. I did mention that as kind of the question I was putting was an over-under for the first and second round pick. I think that's probably in a range, but I mentioned you probably have to pay over that. So I would say you're probably looking at, like, you know, two firsts or a first and 2 seconds. But I also wanted to correct myself. I did mention he was 9 games into his second season. He did miss week 3 and 4, so only 7 games played this season. And looking back on week 1 and 2, a touchdown in both of those weeks. So it got off to a fast start, but, you know, I think there might be some residual effects from that injury still lingering there as well. But that's going to get us, Sean, towards the end of today's show. We are ready for week 10. We hope the listeners are ready for week 10, and we appreciate everyone who's listening in. As always, drop us a written interview on your favorite podcast app, and we have mentioned it the last couple of weeks, but if you drop a new written, it will refresh, and it helps the algorithm over with the Apple podcast. So we would appreciate that very, very much if you have a minute or two this weekend. If you want to sign up for RotoViz NFL Pass, if you haven't done so already, or if you want to extend your subscription, you can add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout to get a 10% discount, get you access to all of the content and tools up on rotoviz.com. And you can go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information on that offer. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. He is also the co-host of the Stealing Bananas podcast with Ben Gretz. So make sure you're checking out that fantastic show as well. And check out all of Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. And until we're back with another show next week, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.